This is episode 259. I am extremely hardcore.
He is, ladies and gentlemen. This week we're talking about, I'm back at band practice and that just feels really good. The Super Bowl of all things. We're talking about sports and statistics and stuff. Who even are we? More Klons, more Gibson, TIE Fighters. It's a pretty classic episode of the Tone Control, honestly.
Yeah. Everything you expect.
Yeah.
Still don't have a catchphrase.
Sorry. Catchphrase. Do you even know we're under, bro? It's the Tone Control. Bing, bing.
Yeah. All right. I like that one. And doesn't that music just get you in the mood?
It gets me in a mood, I'll tell you that.
Well, now I'm in a mood. Now that you said that to me. You know, it's...
Dude, I'll be honest with you. I've been in a mood for like 10 days because my kid got the flu. Yeah, and we've been like, we're just on the other side of that now. And it has been a week since I have felt normal. And honestly, like, Beth was sick and she was home for a few days, and then Jack got sick and they were both home for a few days, and then I was home like taking care of him and he wasn't back at daycare till today. It's a whole fucking thing, right? And I realized today when I signed in to work this morning that this is the first time in quite literally over a week that I've been signed on at work with no one else in the house.
It's like the first day of normalcy. One of those isn't enough. So,
it was nuts. It was just so, like, he was like, I'll be honest, he was awful. Like, he had the flu. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So, like, him and it was just all over the place. It was bad.
Just everywhere. So, spraying all over the walls.
Like, you get it. Yeah. And so it was just a lot, you know? Sometimes it's just a lot. So go listen to my other podcast, Super Secret Dad Club, and listen to me complain about my kid for an hour.
it's far more honest than that,
but yeah.
Well, right, far more honest. But it's you know, outlets.
Yeah, yeah.
Can be a big deal. So
the show has been thrown together in the last 30 minutes, is what I'm telling you.
30 minutes or less.
Yeah.
It's like a pizza, this episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
This episode, like a pizza.
It's like a pizza. Basically, if we take longer than 30 minutes to deliver this episode to you, it's free.
I was wondering where you were going to go, and I was a little worried, but now I'm not worried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saved it. Well, so Jack's getting better. He's better?
He's better. He's all good. We did the Tamiflu thing, and he was just like, cool. He was bad about taking the medicine, but it worked. So, you know.
Wow. I never had that.
Yep.
Never got my hands on any viral medicines, antivirals at all.
It like prevents it from reproducing, I think is like technically what it does. So the stuff that's in there still runs its course. It shortens it by like half.
Yeah.
So he was better by Sunday. He was like pretty much back to normal.
Wow.
And sure enough, today he's ready to rock. So.
Cool. Cool. Yeah,
man, we're in the thick of it though.
Yep. On one of the days last week, I guess it was Wednesday, Aria had something. She started kind of complaining about a sore throat, but she thought it was like the air was really cold that morning and she was running all around and she thought, you know, you get, have you ever been like running outside? You get the like burning of your lungs, right? From the super cold air, especially if you don't like work up to it. Like any joggers will know what I'm talking about. You get to wintertime. If you like...
It's harsh.
If you didn't go out for a few days and then it got suddenly cold, I'd be coughing for a day. So I'm like sort of convinced that that's what's going on with her. And then the next day she like... was a little uneasy in the morning and you can never tell. And she doesn't really know. She's eight. Mm-hmm. She still doesn't quite have the words to always know exactly what's going on. She knows she's not supposed to be a wimp about it. You know what I mean? And she's trying to not be a wimp about it.
I can picture her also like maybe confusing emotional states with physical states a little bit of like, which one is it that I'm feeling? Like I feel bad. So that makes me feel emotionally bad. But right. Which one am I trying to explain?
So much of that. So much of that. And then as soon as she got to school, she was like to the teacher, I don't feel good. And they were like, trash can. She threw up. It was like,
oh, no.
Marielle had just dropped her off. She's like turning around. So then, and the thing is, I didn't have a car because I had brought RAV4 over to have it. Well, no, we have two cars now. We have the Bolt now, but Marielle has that. I don't have the RAV4 because we just gone through this rigmarole. There was like a recall on the something in it that could catch fire. So there's safety recall. I planned this way out like 2 weeks in advance, make arrangements to drop the car off. My parents pick up Aria, and then we do all this thing. And then I don't have a car. So Marielle calls me and she's like all flustered. I'm picking her up, but I have to go to this business meeting and I can't, you know, miss it. They're touring properties to like open their own practice when she graduates. Okay. And she's like, you have to come meet me at this place in Blue Ash. And I was like, right, great. I'm there with you. I'm on it. I don't have a car.
Except this glaring issue.
I'm going to right now go communicate with my mom and I'm going to help you figure that, you know, cause she's like in the, you know, and then it's like a 20 hour thing. And Aria is back to school the next day.
It's so weird, dude. Like,
unbelievable.
It's just, I try to understand, but like every now and then you think I get the pattern. Like I know what's going on a little bit. Like I can keep my head on a swivel and then it's just, and then you're wrong.
What is this going to mean? What is this going to mean?
Yeah. So, I have two questions for you. Which one do you want first?
Is this a good news, bad news?
No, they're both good. I'll start with the one because I think there's a Justin story attached to it.
Okay.
I'm supposed to ask you how your hand is doing.
Oh, yeah. So I had a chat with your wife the other day.
Yeah.
So, Derek, I talked with Beth.
Yeah.
So we were doing something. I was loading the dogs into the car and into the new car, which has a significantly smaller hatch space than my old car was. So Emerson gets up into the back. He rides in the back and Jenny sits in a back seat. So he climbs up into the back and like I start to shut the thing, but his tail is kind of in the way. I'm like, I'm going to push his tail back in. It's not going to get caught in the hatch. And I'm sort of being careful to do it and it doesn't shut all the way. So I have to kind of open it a little bit again, but I don't want to open it very much. And then I slam it shut and I... like pushed, you know, like you're shutting the hatch of a car, except only my thumb caught onto the door.
Oh, only your thumb pushed?
So I basically went full on, like I had a whole palm on it, but I put all that pressure and I felt a really good crunch. And I was like, it was one of those things like, you know, sometimes you bang, you know, you stub your toe real bad.
Yeah.
You go, this is going to hurt for a few minutes. And then sometimes you do something and you're like, this is bad. I just did a bad thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. And Marielle comes outside. She doesn't see it happen, but she sees me like pacing in the garage and I got like my hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like taking deep breaths and she's
and you know,
see
like you did it now. Yeah.
I'm like in actual pain. I'm not in like, I'm going to walk this off for a second pain. So I like got ice and I was like, I was going to drive. I was like, you better drive because we're on our way somewhere to my folks' house. And anyway, I called her and she like asked me a bunch of stuff and she was like, I don't think you did anything permanent. You just really
you just got it real good.
Really pissed off your thumb. If it doesn't get better in a couple of days, then we'll see about something else. But it has gotten steadily better each day, and I have almost no pain today, and it's only been like 2 days. So, but at the time, I was like, "This is my right hand." I mean, I did it in such a way that I could still like pick things up, you know, and it was okay.
Yeah, but like. You got to think about it.
Well, right. No, it was like she said, like, if anything hurts, then that's the edge of what you can do. Don't do that. You know what I mean? You can do anything that you don't feel pain about. So it was like, that's fine. So, So it's going all right. It's going to be fine. I didn't have to get seen or anything like that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Second
that's
question.
A story. Yeah.
This is not a story. I just want to know, where are you in dark matter and how do you like it?
We're liking it a lot.
Good.
I am in...
For the uninitiated, Dark Matter is a sci-fi novel by Blake Crouch that I read recently and loved it. And I was like, I got to get this for the Newtons for Christmas. So yeah. we sent that and a few other books over. And if you have read this or are interested, they're making it into an Apple TV series in May, or I think, right?
I don't know the date.
It's like this spring. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to get a move on then, frankly, is what's going on. But, cause it's a busy semester, but it is the last semester for us. So, where are we? So he's just gone to find the person who is his wife. And
okay, cool.
Went to her art show, and then the whole discussion after the fact and stuff like
afterwards.
That. And then, well, I don't know. Are we protecting the listeners from spoilers?
I mean, will it just like provide synopsis like you would see on the back of the book? Like, is it a?
No, I mean like the culmination of that scene has happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a pretty big moment. So if anybody is going to read it, I am not going to say what happens at the end of that scene.
It's a sci-fi story that is sort of based on the concept of Schrodinger's cat and like of putting things into superposition where they are both alive and dead, for example. They assume two states as like a thought experiment kind of thing. But the plot is that a scientist has figured out how to do that for real. Like how to
actually remove, do it instead of theoretically
do it to humans and remove the part of their consciousness observing the state and thus collapsing the theory kind of thing. So
like it's both. So if there's a divergence, like both of them exist.
Yeah. It's a really cool, and it's like a kind of thriller mystery action thing. It's awesome. So anyway, that's all.
Yeah.
I've just been dying to know.
and I'm noticing how it's just, and I'm not sure how much of this continues, but just a little bit, it's told from the middle out. In a sense, because clearly a lot
of what
needs to be explained happened before the book started. And then also the plot is carrying on. As we're learning more about what happened before, we're learning about what's happening as we're following the character, which is the way Project Hail Mary went by Andy Weir that I loved so much. Story told starts in the middle and basically gets told from the middle out, which I think is fantastic.
In Project Hail Mary, the actual timeline changes. Like they actually, dated, right? And with Dark Matter, it's
jumping,
just like...
Yeah.
You're time jumping and there's storytelling within, like the characters are explaining things to each other.
Yeah.
They don't, the narrative setting does not change.
Right. So it's not exactly. It's similar.
I would still
I'm noting the similarities, right. I'm noting that why that makes for such an exciting story, I think. You know, it carries your audience
through.
Because
you start to ask questions.
Yeah, you're asking questions and you're getting certain things explained, but you're interested in both sides of it, and that's...
Yeah.
That about it is very similar. So, dig.
So, cool. All right, let's talk about guitars and stuff.
All right, let's talk about guitars and stuff. What's it going to be?
This one's long.
Yeah, I could shorten this. Yeah, I could have split that one in half. I did to a lot of these that are on the soundboard, and I guess I didn't do that one.
That's okay. So the first thing I just mentioning, I guess, if anyone cares, is I'm back at band practice. So
back in it.
We're back, baby.
Yeah.
We took off from like after Thanksgiving or so, or actually before Thanksgiving, until last week. Our drummer had a baby.
Yeah, I was going to say somebody had a baby.
Had a second baby, I should say. Yeah. So...
Still a baby.
Congrats. Still a baby. Congrats, Mike. and we're back. We're doing a Pop Goes Punk show in April.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm learning all kinds of weird songs that are not really guitar songs, but it's really fun, including some Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The quick rule to punk up a cover is to increase the tempo by 25%. That's what we've landed on for this one.
Yeah.
Right. So then your slow ones are still a little slow, but you bring them up, right? When they're not like...
Yeah.
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 So, So that's the thing. I didn't see where you put the next thing in our show notes, but I was going to jump right down to this JHS Nauticlon.
Oh, pedal. That's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
That we could talk about now because I got one.
So the next thing.
Oops. I've actually had one for quite a while.
The Nauticlon. Here we go.
Yeah. So, I mean, those. Yeah. So I was in the, I guess, first pre-order stage of this. I saw it, and it's a Klon clone. It's JHS's very accurate Klon replica.
Yeah.
For $99, and it's a very cool solderless kit that you put together.
Oh, a solderless kit. Okay, yeah. So I remember seeing this when they had announced it some time ago, but yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't throw it in the notes, I think, because it was like, great, Klons. But it since came in and
it just caused Discord discussion about great Klons.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, but it's really good. And the build aspect of it is super cool. And I think if you really like take your time and like set up a nice workspace and like null it all out like this, it'll take you 30 minutes. It's at most 30 minutes. It's a very quick assembly.
Tell me about the goop. Do you have to goop it so that nobody can find what the circuit is? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you do. You goop, there's a part of it, a single part, you goop the diodes and it says like apply on the board. It says like apply goop here. And but if you do that, you have to like let it dry for 48 hours or something crazy. And I was like, I'm not fucking gooping it. I want to play it right now.
But it doesn't do anything to the diodes.
No, it's it doesn't just do a thing.
Because of that whole culture of hiding your circuit sort of shit, right? Oh my God.
How great is that? How much would this cost per unit if they didn't include the goop, right? Would it still be $100? Like how much is that costing?
How much is that joke worth? Oh, look at all the goop.
Yeah. Look at all the goop. Mine is around here somewhere. I forget where I put it, but...
Is it just white silicone, right?
Black, but yeah.
Oh, it's black. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
The only pedal I've ever had where I opened it up and discovered that it was gooped, they'd use white. That's why I think goop is white.
No, I've always seen it as black. That's funny.
That is interesting.
The Nauticlon, like they've branded this very IKEA-esque, which is kind of fun because you build it yourself. It's all like prefab.
Flat pack.
But everything's all powder coated and labeled and ready to go. And you get like 100 times more goop than you actually need in that little bottle.
That was the smallest amount they could source.
So what's cool is it's a dual layer PCB and it comes like perforated and you snap the PCBs apart
and
within the perforation of it is also, made little wrenches and tools that you break out of the thing in order. So like you see them there in the middle. They look like a double-sided wrench.
The way the green here, I can zoom even more.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right. So
that's cool.
That's the two halves of the PCB and you separate it out with pliers and they tell you like what you can discard. And then there's those wrenches that are built into the thing that you break out and you use it to tighten all the nuts and stuff on the
nuts onto the knobs and the switches. Yeah,
all that stuff.
Jacks. And onto
the jacks and stuff. And it's like awesome. Like you don't need anything. You can open this and build this pedal with no tools.
Right. Well, and I've noticed too that clearly this is they're pre-populated. Like the thing you're building is putting the knobs, you're putting the pre-populated circuit board in place. You're attaching the knobs and a ribbon cable.
Yeah.
And then smearing goop on it, I guess.
If you want, yeah. And then close it up. Yeah. Right. And it's
solderless, it's not like alligator clips or something. You know what I mean?
You're not actually doing all the little bits. Connectors or anything. Yeah, it's you're just connecting the ribbon cable, which you can't do the wrong way. It's got a little tab on it.
Yep.
And it's bi-directional, so you just use either side. And you just follow the instructions. There's a video that you can follow instead of reading it if you want. Yeah, there's the wrenches. You can see them in that photo better. And then they just tell you how to place it into the enclosure, like which things to fasten to the front in order to hold it to the enclosure, stuff like that.
Nice.
And it's also got the JHS Shamrock mod that is like known
plus and minus Klon switch mod. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. So here's my bypass tone. Mm-hmm. coming in a little hot, but that's how I like
You're
it.
You're fine.
Well, I mean, crispy. Like, I'm pushing this fake amp.
Oh.
That's my clean tone.
Okay. So. It sounds clean to me. I'm extremely hardcore, so.
Okay. I got to write that down because I will forget. Okay. I am extremely hardcore. That's so good. Anyway, so here's the Nauticlon, how I have it set.
Yep.
Sounds great.
Cool. Sounds like the Backstreet Boys.
We're doing it. Anyway. So that's with the switch in the minus position, which is just the stock,
okay.
Stock pedal sound. But if I switch that over, it's like a little fatter.
Yes, I was going to say, it sounds like it's boosting the treble a little less.
It is, yeah. It's like a more full range thing.
It's a little less treble in your treble booster.
And I think, yeah, I think... the gains structure, this may not come through Discord. I think it sounds a little sizzlier.
A little compensated as well. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. There's something going on where I feel like there's this sort of Marshall amp type, not hiss, but like there's a little crispiness in a certain range that is not present when that's turned off.
Okay.
But that might just be me hearing it here. So the plus mode is higher gain, I would say. And I switch it back and forth now and then. But when it's in the plus mode, it doesn't stack into my other pedals the way I like. So I usually leave it on the minus anyway. It comes a little too hot with the plus mode.
Thick,
but if it's all you're using.
Yeah. And that's going to vary by guitar.
Definitely.
So,
That's the Nauticlon.
That's the Nauticlon. Let's get a nice shot. Like,
I don't know where they are right now with the pre-order status because they were like really overwhelmed with the response to this thing.
The first 3,000 sold the fuck out.
Yeah, that's so they made 3,000 to launch and they sold out like the day of. And that's I got on that batch kind of not realizing how hyped it was getting.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up to like 20,000, 21,000 orders now. And they're catching up through the spring. But it's $99. Like, I don't think there's...
That's the thing.
That's
isn't
the thing.
It? That's the thing.
It's $99. It sounds really good. You can't really mess it up. And it's fun. Like, it's fun to do the project of it. Even though it's a 15 or 20 minute thing, it's a fun afternoon. Like, you know, build this and play guitar. Fuck it.
Yeah. Cool. I like that a lot better than like this is the most accurate clone, you know, this is a better gimmick than
the clone part of it is very accurate, but that's not really what people are talking about. I think it's like the
because you know that if it doesn't cost $3,000 it's not accurate, so why even mention
try
it
hate. But
yeah
I know
you're not part of the conversation until you cost thousands.
I think I even see that you can buy with Shop Pay there. I had like some points with them. I think I paid like $70 for this thing. So anyway, yeah,
hey,
man.
Whatever. JHS still got paid.
Yep.
So there's that.
There's that.
There's that. Cool.
Next
thing. What are we going to do next? Well, I'm going to play this and figure it out. There's a note in there in that demo that I'm never expecting, just the way it came out.
Which one? In that part
wow,
of it?
Wow, wow, wow. There's one of them that's like it's you throw an accidental. Maybe it wasn't intentional, but it stayed in, and it's just wow.
Oh, in the background chords, like it
I think
drops
so.
Lower than you think it's gonna.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway,
that was the choice.
Yeah, it was the choice. It was the you know, and the thing is. We didn't stick around. I faded that demo off. The question is, did you do it again, right? Because that's like the jazz rule for whether it's a mistake. Yeah. Did you do it twice?
If you mess it up, just do it again. Make it a motif.
Right. anyway, it doesn't matter. This is the topic. So then the next topic was, did you see that ludicrous display last night?
I genuinely didn't, because I was coming off of my kid having the flu.
Yeah. I think everybody forgot about it. So many people I know were like, was tonight.
You would not believe how overwhelmed I am with Taylor Swift news.
Oh, sure. Conspiracy theories.
Sure. Yeah. That and just just her face is in my face
so much.
A lot, you know? Yep. So much. And like, I don't have much to say about it other than, boy, I'm getting kind of tired of this, but it's not because it's Taylor Swift. It could be anybody and I would be this annoyed.
And it's really not her fault or really because of anything she's doing.
No, I totally agree. That's why I'm like, I'm not mad at her. Like I'm mad at how it's being covered.
Super Bowl was last night. And the conceit of it is football happened. As I said, you know, when we got to the end of the game, you know, what happened. And the announcers, I don't really follow sports, but I know what's going on. And I watch them. And occasionally football has these stupid fucking rules that make no sense. And I'll hear them just make an offhanded remark. And so I spent half the game trying to figure out how there could be an illegal man downfield. What the fuck does that even mean? Because it was just some remark that one of the announcers made. Anyway, I figured it out, but it doesn't matter, and it's stupid. And they also said that I think only one Super Bowl game had ever been won by a team who had not scored in the first half. You know, because they come up with these statistics, right? Only one other, and I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering. So, maybe it was like, none.
I'm not a sports person either. Yeah. I used to be a bit, but when I was young, much younger, but not anymore. But I find sports statistics very interesting. Like, okay, I cannot believe how much data they collect.
It is unbelievable, but maybe
it's
then this...
unbelievable.
You might find this interesting then, because I'm about to lay one on you. So, is something I was just pondering, and I kind of put this together at the end of the game, right? So I turned to Marielle and I said, well... That was interesting. Kind of exciting at the end. Did you know, because I'd been researching things on my phone, right? Did you know that no Super Bowl has ever been won, ever? Not any of the 58 Super Bowls that have been played, not even one has ever been won by a team that ended the first half with 0 points and ended the second half with fewer points than their opponent. And that's true.
So, yeah, that's a true science fact.
Last
night, this is my dive into sportsdom for a minute. You know, on the Wired YouTube channel, they have those like blank support and they interview somebody, they get somebody who's an expert in their field to answer questions from Twitter and stuff. Yeah. And one of them was a sports statistician and I watched it and I was like, this is insane information. It's so crazy, like what they track, what they don't track. Stuff like that. And if you've, again, not really a sports person, but the movie Moneyball is amazing. It is so good. And it's about like the adoption of major analysis into statistics into baseball.
Right. Reacting to that analysis because like people knew these things, but did they use that to try to win games? No, they used all this other stuff. And this was sort of the story of the people who decided, you know what?
It's such a good movie. Yeah. And which, you know, it's based on a true story about the Oakland A's and all of the people in that later went on to work for the Red Sox that broke their curse and won the series back in whatever year that was, 2004 or something.
Figured their shit out. Yep.
Yeah. It's nuts. But anyway. Yeah.
So why are we talking about the Super Bowl?
I'm not even a statistics person, but I like sports statistics.
I find it really annoying when they talk about those weird esoteric shit because they're just trying to run their mouths all the time. I find that super awkward. Because half the time it's some stupid shit about the, you know, he's 17% against the left-handed pitcher if it's the bottom of the sixth and before, you know.
It's like the most obscure thing, but it comes up because they're in that situation right now. And of course they have a statistic on it.
Of course, of course.
So anyway.
But so the Super Bowl happened. So Usher was the halftime show. And it was it was what it is. A lot of dancing. A lot of wild dancing. Especially his crew there was doing some extremely gymnastic stuff. But how is this guitar related? Well, is it, do I say her or do I say H-E-R?
I think it's her. Yeah.
I think it's her.
Actually, I've not, I think so. I have not listened to music by her at all.
I didn't know who it was.
I just haven't.
Mario was like, who's that? Who's the guitar player that just showed up to play the solo in this song? And I was like, I don't fucking know. I have to look it up.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to add some of her music, her essentials. Here we go. Out to my phone right now, so I know it. There we go.
So
I'll listen to that tomorrow.
Her shows up to play the guitar solo here in this, and with a new Fender Signature Series.
Yeah, guitar. So she has a signature guitar already.
Yeah,
And it's really cool. It's a Strat. It's a great look. It's got the it's like a pearly silver, her original one, with an anodized pickguard.
Okay.
So it's like very light tones and stuff, but this Super Bowl edition one is fucking killer.
So this is like I don't know what to call this. It looks like automotive red, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's like got an automotive metallic sheen to it, and then maybe like a gray, shiny metal pickguard.
Yeah, it's
very
like
dark,
but it's not black. It's like just charcoal anodized.
Right. And is this headstock like toasted or painted black? I can't even tell.
It's painted red.
It's painted red. You just can't, with the angle, it disappears into
black. Yeah,
so
right there you can see it.
Angles. There it is, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks so good, dude. Like and it's got the black plastics and the chrome bits and stuff. Oh my God. So I posted this link in our show notes. It's an Instagram link to a guy named Brian Thrasher. Like the most rock and roll band or name there is.
The rock and roll man.
So Brian, though, works as a master builder at the Fender Custom Shop, and he is an awesome follow on Instagram. So
cool.
I totally recommend people go follow his account. It's linked in our show notes. Brian Thrasher 13, if you just want to look it up now. But he's posting all these like cool sneak peeks of like tour exclusive models for artists. Yeah, this he says here, sometimes we get asked to do things last minute. And it's the Super Bowl, her guitar on his bench. And then the next photo is it on the stage at the Super Bowl, the
right
halftime
there.
Show. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah, he's definitely one of my favorite accounts I've followed recently, especially with like the resurgence of Blink-182. He's doing all of Mark and Tom's gear. So you can see all like the custom one-offs.
There's two necks in this, so I guess if you build a guitar, you build two, because what if it broke right before the show kind of thing, maybe?
I guess so, and I bet resource-wise, it's probably not much more work to build two than it is to build one.
I mean, she kind of needs it
when
to look like this. It's part of the costume, right?
So, oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the vibe.
Can't fuck that
up. It looks
up.
So cool.
It's good.
She looks so fucking cool. Look at this. God.
The boots?
Everything.
The costume has sort of a like ski pants shaped like leather or plastic pants that had like a very big boot on them.
Pads. There's like a little bit of Kiss happening.
A little bit. It's like sort of a cat suit. So like she's got cat ears going on.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It was cool. I did see, as I was sort of glancing around for a link, which then you fed to me instead anyway, and this is better. I saw mentions of people, I don't know, accusing her of faking something.
Oh, well, because they haven't let anyone play live at the halftime show.
First of all, it's the Super Bowl halftime show, you dipshits. If any of their mics are live, it's because nothing's gone wrong yet. Like, I think I think Usher's mic was live at the very beginning. It was turned down too quiet, and they suddenly brought it up, like, during his first word. And I don't know, you could just sort of tell that they're actually not... The performance you're hearing is a little out of breath. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a lot of, I don't know, but who gives a shit? First of all.
Who gives a shit?
Like, I don't know.
They don't owe you anything.
I watched it, and if it was pre-recorded, she did a great job. because it looked like she could have been playing it. And I certainly,
honestly,
you know, who gives?
If I was a musician and they're like, "We want you at the halftime show, but you have to play along to tape," I'd be like, "Okay,
yeah, great, I'll like, dance better what, then."
What's the harm, you know?
Right.
I remember when the Red Hot Chili Peppers did it some years ago. None of their gear was even plugged in, and it looked bad. At least I think her guitar here it looks like there's something plugged into it.
She has a wireless plugged in. Yeah, I mean, I do. I'm here. I am saying like I don't care. I do kind of look for it. But
yeah, like if you're gonna fake it, like
not in a judgmental way, yeah, fake it for real. Look, she recorded it. If it was pre-recorded, she fucking recorded it. Okay, like what the fuck do you want?
Yeah, you're so still anyway, listening to her.
I don't think that's the real narrative here, but I did see, like, of the six articles that popped up in the little Google slide back and forth thing, one of them said that. Said some remark.
There's this like some awesome photos of the Chili Peppers at the halftime show, and they're like in the middle of their performance, just full bore, 100% rocking out, and there's nothing plugged into Flea's bass. And it's just like, even if the other end of that just went off stage and into nothing, you know, we'd at least, we would still know, but we would be able to believe.
Yeah, I mean, if they do that fake, they've got the. Do you see this headset mic she's wearing? She has a headset mic. Usher had this giant headset mic. At a different part, he switched to a wireless handheld and then switched back to the headset mic because they were like three or four costume changes. He, of course, at some point, it's Usher, so he took some of his clothes off. But he he had his in-ears like taped down the middle of his back, which became obvious once he started taking his clothes off. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. Looked like they were playing to me. Looked like Luda was playing. I mean, what difference does it make? But yeah.
The only time I see Ludacris is in State Farm commercials. Let's move on.
All right. What's our next thing? Oops, I didn't take that off the screen. There we go. What are we doing now? We're doing this this thing.
This thing from Gibson.
Oh, Gibson. I got to find the right sound for Gibson. My soundboard doesn't have a sad trombone on it. What am I gonna do? No. What do I have? One that's really hurts you? I don't know. What is this?
Oh, it's the demo I fucking hate. I don't know.
I had to put you in the right mood.
Actually, I don't remember what pedal this is, but. This is not the one I thought it was when I said I hated it.
If you had to guess.
Is it a Giuliana?
It is not a Giuliana. It is a Boss.
Oh, I don't know.
Double switch one. No, it's that MD500.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I thought it was the there's some overdrive that I did that I was like, this is stupid. I hate this pedal.
Okay.
So anyway,
here's the sexy Gibson.
Yep. Gibson has released the Gibson Les Paul Modern Studio Electric Guitar. And what that means is they've revamped.
It does sound like it should be like in a hi-fi magazine from the 60s. Yeah. Behold the new modern studio electric guitar. It can be yours for the low, low price of $1,999.
The very world of tomorrow, you know? Yes. So it's the studio, which means it's like pretty stripped back. It's more affordable. Yep. It is kind of missing of some of the trademark Gibson features and details and stuff. But the new modern studio has an answer to some of that. So it looks like they've added neck binding. And I can't really tell. You might have to look at a different color to really see. But
I don't think there's neck binding here. Hold on.
Is it
no
black?
No neck binding.
No neck binding? Nope. I saw something. Maybe it's a different color that has it. I don't know.
Well, there's a white color.
It's the white? And the faded red, which is like kind of cool. I don't see neck binding either. So I don't know that the thing I read is very wrong.
Yeah, I don't see neck binding. So
is there body binding, but it's just the same color?
Well, if there is, then I can't tell.
Oh, now hang on. Look at this white one.
Okay.
Because the white is a solid opaque top, and then the back and sides are like a stain.
Oh, I can see just a little bit of something there on the edge.
Yeah, is that binding or is that just the top?
It must be because I can see grain. I can see mahogany grain. Yeah. Or is it that's just that cool. The top is, anyway, it, either way.
I mean, other yeah. Les Pauls have multiply binding, which would really show it. Like it would have the black right. in there as well.
I like this. I'm gonna leave it on this one. I like this one.
Okay.
So we're going with
satin, smokehouse satin.
Yeah, I like the satin for one thing, but that's a nice color. I like everything all blacked out the way it is. In fact, is this Pickguard they're using satin this like, too?
Probably not. I bet it looks like they're using black chrome hardware.
Yep. I love
which
that.
Is cool.
I love that.
That's a cool look. One of my guitars has that, and it's very cool. I've actually wanted to replace the tuners on it, and I haven't because I want them to definitely match that color.
Yeah.
So, but they've added a bunch of stuff from the Les Paul Standard to this. So it's got all that switching that Les Paul Standards have now, which is like the coil splits and then phase reversal and what they call like pure bypass or something like that, which no matter what position or configuration your pickup switch or knobs are in, if you go to the pure bypass thing, it just is a shortcut to the bridge pickup directly to the output jack.
Cool. I mean, I don't know how much I'd use that, but I mean,
I don't either, but it's a you thing. Got an extra pot. Like,
apparently they figure out how to do these. So they probably made a PCB that just has all this stuff on it and they drop them in, you know, that's great.
Yeah.
The 100%. Inlays is a step up from what Studio used to be, right?
That's right. It's got the trapezoid inlays instead of the dots. And it has, if you go to the back, the photo of the back, it has the scooped neck heel.
Okay. Like it.
Instead of, though the heel is still pretty much there, but the body is like carved into that axis shape, they call it.
So this, that's cool. This black color, all right, well, this color ends up with a totally black backside. It's like the front was burst a little bit, and then the back. And look at
when Les Pauls are different colors on the back and the top. Like that's how they should all be.
The grain in the neck I'm picking up here.
Yeah. I really like when they do like a natural back and sides with a solid color top. I think it's just like this awesome classy look. But
this is sort of reverse of that, isn't it? It's almost a dark natural top and then like painted back. But with grain.
They may, a long time ago, there were, I'm talking like 60 years ago, there were like early, I don't know if it was early gold tops. Some gold tops have a dark back instead of the natural back. And it's that like very dark stained deep brown. And a dark back gold top is like, makes me feel feelings.
Yeah.
they have a look. But anyway, so it also has a compound radius, which is really like a sort of pro feature add on here, which I'm happy to see. And it's $2,000. So this is still Gibson's like entry point. Right. And, you know, we talk about like the problem we have with Gibson a lot of the time is like the price, the amount you're spending next to what you're getting quality wise, feature wise, all that other stuff. And like the marketing mumbo jumbo and QA, fit and finish, blah, blah, blah. So I like the features that we've talked about, all that switching, the compound radius, the neck, the body carve thing. That's all cool. Is it worth $2,000 though? Like, I just feel like Gibson is a little inflated.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to know.
And by a little, I mean exactly inflated. Because, like it's just,
are there standards that there, right? Like, is this guaranteed to be like a correctly intonated guitar from the factory?
A banger. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I've been hearing that current Gibsons are good. The one I have is good. But the thing about the one I have is when I bought it and tried five others from the same batch, they were all really, really different.
Huh.
Not in a way that's like, it's a different guitar, so it's going to be a little different. They were like really noticeably like this one's.
Yeah.
And nothing that was like adjustable. It's not an action thing. It's not an intonation thing. There's
that,
just something
that pretty directly
else.
Speaks to you can't just charge $2,000 for your entry level if they're not going to have a pretty good consistency level.
Yeah, so I don't know, but they've been doing this through all those years where things were really shitty. So it's hard to say if now they've figured it out. I don't trust that. I wouldn't say that. It
hasn't been that many years since you got yours. Whatever. There's no. I'm trying to like be charitable, but there's no way to. There's no way around it.
I mean, I've had mine for 7 years.
Really? Man, we've been doing this podcast a long time.
It's a 2017. And yeah, I got it in 2017. So yeah.
Well, okay, but so whatever. Like it's what they do. They're trying to insist that their brand is premium, and they're doing that by like, fine, here's a light model, and it still costs as much as most people's
pro models prosumer.
That's the bottom of pro price range.
Yeah. Right. And I think you look at this and then I think that I haven't really talked about this on the show. I think the Novo guitar's bubble is bursting or has burst a little bit as far as prices go and like availability and inflation of aftermarket prices go. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing some on my Reverb watch list for a while that are like dipping into $2,500-$2,600 for like their Esquire style or Les Paul Junior style guitars. And, you know, for $500 more for like another third at most more than this Gibson, you could get like a team, like a small team built.
A truly custom guitar.
Truly custom, like way Hand-made more unique and interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's a nice looking guitar.
I don't think you'd be like, you're not getting ripped off.
No.
It's just that you really can, like, this does equal something that's like $1,500 or maybe $1,000 from somebody else.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the, if you look at the product category of like these entry USA models, the prices don't match, you know? And
yeah, they're so, not justifying that. Like, their wiring doesn't justify that.
No, especially because it is just a PCB. It's all,
yeah,
it's the brand. And
it's the brand.
So,
they don't have some feature that nobody else can touch, and that's why theirs are allowed to cost more.
But, well, it's legacy, and they just don't call it a feature. So it's, I think, what would, if not $2,000, and it doesn't,
it comes with this weird, give me
it's
a
like a hybrid
break.
Soft.
All right, yeah. I'm starting to change. So, I'm changing my mind here. Like, I think you're getting ripped. If you spend $2,000 on a guitar and they're not giving you a hard case, like, how much does a hard case cost? Fuck you, Gibson.
A couple $100 at most. Yeah, oh, like, on. I don't disagree. What would you pay for this? Like, if you got to set the price, what do you think is a reasonable, like, $1,599?
Yeah, I mean, I think
I think you can charge that and, like, use the legacy excuse still.
Yeah. So, $1,600? I still think this should have a, I still think it should have a case. I don't know.
I will say that case looks better than the old ones that the studios came with.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, okay. But that's the thing. Like, are they tricking us by like, they've anchored us by being like, well, our cases were so shitty for so long that now we can throw in the better case. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, cases are not a feature that I think adds to the, I don't think should add to the ticket price of a guitar, you know?
Yeah.
Like my Novo came with a mono case. This is like $350 soft, like hybrid case. Yeah. It's awesome. I put all my guitars in it, given the chance. If I had said to them, don't send me the case, they would not have lowered my price by $350. You know,
no, that's they're not sending how that you works. That case because they care about their instrument.
They got to ship it. Yeah.
They're like, this is what you do with this instrument here, you know? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So anyway, $2,000.
Okay. $2,000. I mean, it's clearly a nice guitar. I like regardless of the price, I like that the entry model gets modern, you know, gets these nicer things. I like that this does not in any way look like a cheap Gibson.
That's it.
Right?
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah. The studios prior to this always looked like, oh, you got Like, is that what you really wanted, or was it the one you could afford?
I always wonder that. On it, like, sure, it doesn't have the neck binding, and there's a few things that, like, you could still take it to these other levels or whatever visually, but the colors they've chosen hide that, I think, okay. Mm-hmm. And they've made guitars that look good on their own right. And I think that's actually, like, as I'm thinking about it, in the last 5 or 10 years, that's a change, like, in the guitar industry. Yeah. It's probably a manufacturing capabilities change, just modernizing of factories and stuff like that. They can just do things that cheaper than they used to be able to. And so certain that, you know, these better, what used to be locked out features are getting kind of passed down, and you end up with instruments that do look like a premium thing. Like having a mat on this, I think, looks fantastic.
So now, so on. Go over to the headstock. What's the logo? Is it screen printed still? No, it's pearl.
It looks pearl inlay to me.
So, yeah, whether or not it's actually pearl, who cares? But like the fact that it's not screen printed is another one of these things that people look to as like the premium fit and finish.
Right.
So. Yes. Yeah, they used to have that. It's got I like those tuners too, the metal keystones. Mm-hmm. Those are awesome.
Matches the headstock.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't on the actual podcast. Anyway, this is the picture. I had already taken the other thing. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Derek can see stuff even when the audience can't. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, so there you go.
There you go.
Lots to say about a lot of things tonight, I feel like.
Yeah, but we do all right. We're way over podcasting, folks. We're way over 30 minutes, though, so unfortunately this one's going to have to be free.
Damn.
Yeah. Shit. Ah. Fucking don't you blew hate it. That? That's going to come back to us at the end of the month. it's right. It's after NAMM, so there's nothing going on. Y'all are lucky.
Yeah, I mean, Derek was, because
I looked for anything guitar, and seriously, like that guitar being at the Super Bowl was like the only thing I could find or think of. Derek came up with everything else, of course.
Well. And Gibson's not at NAMM anymore. So I saw a headline about this thing and I was like, okay, let's see what they've done to the studio. Like probably one of their best-selling models.
Yeah.
And I was just reading a quick thing about it. I was like, oh, actually, I don't hate this. Like, I don't hate the idea of this, right? There are so many things Gibson does that I hate the idea of. But I was like, cool. Like binding, all that switching, a compound radius, a studio would be better.
Even if we think it's too expensive, bringing... features that were previously locked out down to that level is a pro consumer move.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
So I think we're gonna do thing of the week then. What the heck is this? Let's do a little one. So in the notes, I put TFTC.
Yeah, the fucking tone control.
So my thing of the week is the fucking tone control.
Oh my God, I just opened this link. What is happening? Explain everything to me.
So here's what this actually is. I put the ending screen up for a second. Anyway.
Don't go, we're still here.
No, I'm still here. You can hear me. TIE Fighter Total Conversion. Okay, so I just, like, yesterday, Sunday, I reinstalled this and was playing it again. Okay, so when I was a kid, one of the first computer games that I got really into was X-Wing. And it's historically one of the first space flight sims that was really popular and not just in England.
I remember playing that.
Yeah. So, and then it turned into a series, right? So then there was TIE Fighter, which was you were flying for the Empire. And it's actually like regarded as kind of the best story in the series as far as the single player goes. Hmm. After that, there were other versions and they started adding multiplayer, which was super fun in its own right. And kind of the technology advanced. So eventually they got to X-Wing Alliance. Which was going back to having a story mode and stuff. And so those...
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter was in there as well.
That was in there too. Right? So that was the one where they had a multiplayer.
That's the one I remember more clearly.
That game was pretty much pure multiplayer. As I recall, there wasn't even a single player mode to it. And then X-Wing Alliance kind of brought it all together. There was a campaign, there was a multiplayer, there was mission editors. It was fantastic. So that's also, that's like DOS. This is DOS shit, right? This is ages and ages ago. This is when computer, it was a 3D game, but this is before 3D graphics cards existed. This was all running on your CPU. You know what I mean? This is the kind of, this is before the Voodoo graphics had accelerated that sort of stuff. So modders got their hands on this stuff. And it's ancient and ancient. So we're talking about X-Wing Alliance, the last one in the series, kind of the most advanced one in the series. And they've just been hacking and slashing at that game engine and making it work with modern computers, eventually making it run, actually be, utilize a graphics card, adding real-time lighting effects, redoing all the 3D models and all the textures. I'm not sure what I'm going to be able to see in here. It's fine. I'll just leave this on the screen. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's okay.
So all new models and everything. Wow. Totally modernizing the game. It can run on modern computers, modern screen resolutions, widescreen. It can use head tracking, the little things that people do to make it track their head so you don't have to do mouse look and stuff like that. Joystick. You can bind the controls to joysticks with these mods you made because previously it was all keyboard enforced. All kinds of stuff has been added to this, including VR support, which was...
So where's Justin been
for Justin been for yesterday? He spent like 6 hours doing this. So it's like a throwback to when I was like 14 or something. And, but it runs with all this like sort of redone stuff and runs in VR. And I had tried this a couple, like maybe a year or two ago. And it was, the VR support was pretty janky, but it was still kind of a cool thing. But now it's come a long way. And it was mostly somebody found a way to make it run on the GPU because it was still running. Anyway, so it's come a long way. The thing that's built on the back of this, though, is what I was actually playing, which is the TIE Fighter game. So that's where TIE Fighter Total Conversion comes in, because basically they made this X-Wing Alliance mod. And then some guy modded the mod. So he's putting the entire TIE Fighter campaign into the X-Wing Alliance upgraded engine. And so that's what we have here. So we're basically playing the whole TIE Fighter campaign. But that's not all, because he's making something called the Campaign Reimagined, where he's modernized even the mission structure and added new missions and redone all the voice lines. The cutscenes are getting recreated with 3D models. This is all people's spare time, man. This is all just like free for mod. Like,
what is this costing people?
This is costing people. If you don't own X-Wing Alliance already, you got to go buy it on Steam or Good Old Games for $10, because that's what it's available for right now. So go pay LucasArts the cost of this ancient game, and this is all free stuff. This is all just mods.
That's insane. That blows my mind that like not only are people doing that stuff, but they're not asking for anything either. Like they just, it's fun. So they do it.
And I hope they can spin it into moving along their kind of game development careers. I haven't really looked too much into this. There's a Discord server about it where you can interact. I had a question today about some control binding that was weird and wasn't working right. And, you know, Angel, the guy who makes this, was like replying to me in 5 minutes on Discord. Awesome. There's a whole community up around it. So yeah, the X-Wing Alliance upgraded has its own website. And then the TIE Fighter Total Conversion goes on top of that. Working. It's totally working for me, in loads up in my headset. And I'm like, you know, doing these old training missions. And I was like, oh, I don't remember this one. And like, it's
like
weird.
You're inserting yourself into a memory of yourself.
Right.
Like because of the VR component, like you're in it.
Exactly. This is like, this is what I was dreaming that I was doing when I was 14, right? And I had a CRT, a 16-inch CRT monitor that I was doing it on.
And you were just like, but in your mind's eye, like when you think, when you reminisce about that, that's what you feel, is that like, you don't really, you probably don't remember the CRT, but you remember the game and feeling like you're in it.
Right.
And now you are.
I remember when I first got X-Wing, my computer was so slow. It was a 486, like 25 megahertz computer, and it didn't have a sound hardware in it. Didn't have a sound card. So I played the game at first with no sound effects whatsoever. And sometimes you'd be shooting and it would be like one frame per second. It was like terrible trying to keep up. And then we got an upgraded computer that was like 100 megahertz and it had a sound card in it, and suddenly it was an all new game. And that was a game that was so old, it didn't have any textures. It was just like 3D models, you know?
Yeah.
And then we go all the way up through. Now they've redone all this stuff. There are new dynamic cockpits. So I'm in the cockpit of my TIE fighter, and when I turn, the physical thing in front of me is like moving to go with the ship, as if I'm, you know, the TIE fighter controls, it looks like a yoke in the movies. They've drawn it just like that. They've remapped all of the, like, where the sensors and all the little readouts used to be. They've mapped them onto the physical 3D model of the thing that's around me. So I'm like, my targeting screen is built into the TIE fighter that's around me instead of the way it was back then, because they've just advanced all this shit. It's
so cool.
So clever. So cool. The original campaign's all there. The other stuff is getting worked on still. I don't think it's all totally complete yet, but it's hard to believe that it all kind of works as well. And it makes me, it also, in the back of my mind the whole time, I'm thinking about the Star Wars Squadrons that EA made a few years ago, which was a modern game in the, a spiritual successor to these, and actually did a good job of it, except they never made a mission editor. You know what I mean? Like, they made a campaign that was decent. They made a multiplayer mode that was pretty good, and they patched it a few times, a lot more times than we thought, and they eventually made matchmaking and everything so that it could become a legitimate competitive online game.
Yeah.
And then they didn't release a mission editor, and if they did, that game would still be relevant today.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was cross-platform, too.
Because you know what Angel would have done? He would have dropped this shit, and he would have gone built TIE Fighter in the Star Wars Squadrons
engine.
Because of course he would have, and everybody would be paying EA. You fucking idiots. Money on the table, EA. What the fuck? Anyway. So that's my thing. TIE Fighter total conversion.
The fucking tone control. So my thing is not in the show notes, and that's okay. But my thing is an album. I'm going to pull it up on my phone. It's the album Hell Mode by Jeff Rosenstock.
I'm sure I can find that.
Yeah, I think you can. Hell Mode by Jeff Rosenstock. It came out in 2023. And I'm still pretty new to this record and to Jeff Rosenstock in general. But it's punk rock. It's just straight up 40 minutes of punk rock and roll in like the purest sense of kind of old school punk. Mixed with some like indie rock and alternative and stuff. And it's really just, it's a very interesting album. It's super raw. It's super open. And I'm curious about your thoughts on how it sounds, because I can tell something is different with it. It is not heavily polished. We were just talking about the Blink-182 album, and it's kind of the opposite of that. It is this like really emotive. Yeah.
I didn't like the sound of that one.
Yeah. It's the opposite direction. So it feels like there's a ton of dynamic range. I don't always know what I'm listening for with that. excuse me. But I can tell when something is like really slammed against the ceiling. This is not that. And the songs also just have like there is a liveness to it that is very interesting to me. I don't know if he did it all live or what, or it's just how it was recorded and put together. It's really open and edgy sounding. It's very cool. So anyway, it's won a bunch of awards. I think like people are calling it like, you know, the best album of last year and stuff like that. So it got my attention, and I would totally recommend it. Hell Mode, Jeff Rosenstock.
All right. Since my phone is my camera, I have to make sure you remind me, but as we close the episode down, I'll make sure I add that to my Apple Music. But
I'll text it to you right now. How about that?
There we go.
So you have it.
Hell Mode. All right.
Justin, send.
All right.
There it goes. It's on its way to you. So
there we have it.
So here we are.
Here we find ourselves.
The end of the show.
Yep. And even though we don't plan it this way, we landed on an hour again.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah, I think we do a great job.
We do something.
And nobody's telling us different. Oh, so
I don't know if I told you this, but I'm going to do a thing here. I don't even need the whole thing. I won this rattlesnake cable recently.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's very cool. It's the white cable with the white weave, so it's like really sharp looking.
Okay.
But it's got the gold connectors too. But it came with this awesome sticker that I've been meaning to share with you. It's a rattlesnake sticker that says, "Do you even over under, bro?"
Do I know what this is? Like, hold on.
For wrapping a cable, over under.
Oh. I was like, I was thinking of something completely different. I was not in that headspace at all. Let's do this again. Yeah.
Justin, look at the sticker that came with the rattlesnake cable. Oh, I wanted. It says, "Do you even
do you even not break your cables? You dumb idiot."
Do you even care about your stuff?
Do you even care about your stuff? Do you even ship them with a nice gig bag?
No.
No, idiot.
No.
$2,000 doesn't cover a nice case.
In what universe? Anyway, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. So, all that's left is to say a supreme thanks to everybody, especially the patrons, but not exclusively the patrons, because if you're listening, then I appreciate that, you know?
I do too.
You know what I was meaning to do and then didn't, because we didn't have any show topics and I got panicked about that. Let's give something away. What if we buy three like String Joy gift cards of an appropriate amount and we use
at String Joy? Yeah.
Yeah. We like, just raffle off.
I'm not going to give you like winners. $5 gift card.
Yeah. We'll give you like whatever amount's going to, I'm going to look at String Joy and figure out an amount that's good. And then buy
three of
them.
Strings from them is like, I think they're between like 12 and 15 bucks, depending on what you get.
So yeah, let's go, like we'll pick like 15. Let's buy three of them and have three winners. Right?
Done.
Yeah. So let's do it. And we're gonna do that, and we're gonna put it in the giveaway channel in Discord, and we're gonna pick it next episode. So
assertive Justin is swinging for the fences.
You know what? It's not a big deal. We're just buying some gift cards. We're gonna give them away. Yeah. So get your ass in Discord, and there'll be a post
and on
in
the
that
newsletter.
Giveaway
there'll be instructions about that on the newsletter. So hop on there. All the links and such are in the show notes. And if you're like, I'm good on strings, String Joy sells other stuff too. They have like guitar accessories, like cleaning kits, straps, shirts and swag, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing String Joy stuff kind of exclusively since I got my Novo, and I'm really happy with them.
Awesome.
They do coded strings now too. So I'm using those mostly. They're great.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Please join the Discord and get it, you know, just be a part of that giveaway. Be one of those three winners, or at least make it possible for yourself. I mean, for God's sake. And
it costs you nothing.
Yeah. And it's a fun time to be in there and chat with everybody. So, and thanks to the patrons. And that's the size of it. So,
yeah.
At patreon.com/thetonecontrol is how you do that if you want to be a supporter. Links all in the show notes. You don't have to remember any of this.
That's true. And it's only a dollar or two a month. Yeah. I noticed so far for 2024, I've been doing the Patreon read.
Okay. Do you want to keep that going, or do you want to bounce back and forth?
I don't care. I don't want to step in the Justin zone.
This is your year, dear.
This is my year. Last time I said that to myself, there was a pandemic.
Okay. That might be a show title.
Honestly, like it was the, I had just like changed some stuff around at work and I was like, Beth and I were in like a place, we were talking about starting a family and stuff. I was like, 2020, like, here we go. Like, we're going to make some big moves this year. And then kaboom. Like,
kaboom, fucking, it happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. All right. No, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
That won't happen twice.
All right. The patrons that we thank this week are Rabbi Bob, Gabe Droll, waiting for Justin to have a fit, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects, Doug Gann, and as you can see, Guns N' Roses.
I like that we stick him at the end.
You gotta.
Yeah.
It pulls the thread that pulls people through, you know?
Yeah. What's it going to be this week? All right, everybody. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next time. Get in here for the giveaway. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.